I want you to tell me, Nancy, the story about you bringing the first black student to Holland Hall.
Holland Hall didn't have any blacks and had our children. I did not want them going to a segregated school.
So you had how many in Holland Hall at the time?
I had two. Our youngest child never wanted to go there. He had good friends, you know, Ron Gates. Ron Gates and John Feldman were absolutely together all the time. We used to say the Gateses had five children and we had four, but between us we only had seven.
You said Gates. Bread.
That was David Gates.
David Gates' brother.
His brother Ron, who was an ophthalmologist.
But that's the family you're talking
mm-hmm.
about.
And they lived just up the street from us. The children were best friends, still are.
So your children were going to Holland Hall and there weren't any blacks there?
No. Moreover, Borden's restaurant was doing their catering. And they wouldn't admit any blacks to Borden's restaurant. You can't imagine what it was like here. It was an extremely segregated community. I had done this before, and I was comfortable doing it. I was on the board of trustees of Holland Hall. I talked to them about it. And Burt Moore said, find me the right person to integrate the school.
So he was headmaster at mm-hmm. Holland Hall. He knew what you were going to do.
Yeah.
So then you had to find the right person.
David Bernstein at that time was working for Tulsa Public Schools. Asked him to help me find the right person. He's a weatherman in Chicago now. He's on television all the time as a weatherman.
I mean, the person that was selected?
Mm-hmm. His mother was a maid.
He was going to a Northside school then?
He was going to Northside school. And he was bright, and he was, like, our daughter had pigtails, little blonde pigtails. He would pull her pigtails. He was perfectly comfortable. Everybody liked him, and he was a good athlete. Ed Burt had said to me, I don't need an athlete. mm-hmm. I want a kid who gets along well and whose mother will care that he gets there. He was the first, and it works. It was one of the easiest things I ever did. I think they were ready. The board, they knew they had to do it.
So you came along perhaps at the perfect time then?
Yeah, I think so. I don't remember any battle about it. Well, Burt was very ready.
So that worked, and then he graduated then from Holland
oh,
Hall.
Oh, yeah.
How would his tuition have been paid?
Scholarship.
He was scholarship through Holland Hall. During that four-year period, were there several blacks?
There were several. Sandra Alexander was the second, who's an attorney and been on a lot of boards. She came in. They were exemplary people. And they made their way and yeah. felt comfortable. Sandra's father worked for the Postal Service, but also catered John Alexander. He did a lot of catering for private parties. So a lot of people knew him and were pushing for Sandra to go.
But Sandra, that was a female then. Mm-hmm. It was the second one who came through.
And very interesting, when it came time for her to go to college, did you ever know Betty Strong?
No.
Her husband was a doctor, Paul Strong. Betty was determined that she would go to Swarthmore, and I was determined she would go to Vassar. And we vied with scholarships. Betty won.
Oh. In the 60s, you were the chair of the Civil Rights Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about how you came to that and some of the issues you were dealing with then.
That was interesting. I don't know how I came to be. I forget who was governor. I think it may have been Dewey Bartlett. And we were friends. Dewey was very good on integration, very good. He is the first one who put blacks in the toll booths.
So you were named then chair mm-hmm. by Dewey Bartlett, Governor
Dewey. I'm not sure if it was Dewey, but I think so. And it was a small committee. There was a black man named Henry Floyd, maybe four or five of us. And at our first meeting, we met in Lawton. And we'd all made reservations by that time the 58 had passed and we were officially integrated. When I checked into the hotel, the woman said to me, you and Mr. Floyd have adjoining rooms. I know you'll want to be together. I thought, that's strange. And then when she saw he was black, she moved him.
How about that?
And we used to laugh about it.
But in 1964, the Civil Rights Act mm-hmm. came about. Were you then chair during that period
yeah.
of time?
Mm-hmm.
So that was Governor Henry Bellman then at that time.
That was Bellman, yes.
Was it Bellman that named you to the commission?
I don't remember
okay. All right.
It was Bellman
but it was Governor Bellman in 64.
Yeah. I think he made in Vreeman to the Oklahoma Civil Rights Commission.
Do you remember any pushback then during that period of time?
No, but it was dicey. Vreeman had a real big problem to deal with locally. He was head of it for, I think, Bob LaFortune appointed him. And there was the gallery incident, and someone was shot.
The gallery incident.
I don't remember what it was all about, but our little boy, John, answered the phone one night, and someone said, "We're going to get your father. Tell him he better not go out of this house." There were threats.
Your husband, Ray, had also been active in desegregation.
Mm-hmm.
So his name was probably in the paper,
yeah,
as long as yours was. So you'd get that kind of threatening phone calls.
It was just traumatic for John. But the first thing we did was to try to integrate the army camps, because they weren't integrated at all. That's why we were meeting in Lawton. Like, Pepsi-Cola wouldn't send a black driver into the army camp to unload the Cokes. There were so many minor things that no one would have objected to that could be done quickly and easily.
Because the army camp was all white, and they didn't want to send a black in there.
And they did have a few blacks, but the blacks, they all got terrible assignments. And the wives of some of the black officers who had been bank tellers in their previous lives were gotten jobs as maids. So we attacked that and got them into the banks. It was just basic work.
But in 64, then, with the Civil Rights Act, then
yeah,
it became
changed.
It became a federal issue.
As
I recall, Governor Bellman, because I've interviewed him, he just made sure that this was going to happen, that the state was going to follow through with this. And
absolutely.
He was very adamant about it and helped make it happen. In fact, as I recall, he sent a black into certain communities to see if they could actually be served in a restaurant,
yeah,
or even have a...
Well, that's what Raymond was doing here. Ray was doing that here.
He was doing that here. That's how they were testing the waters.
Mm-hmm. Borden's was the first cafeteria then to allow them in because of the pressure from Holland Hall. You know, I so often feel if you start with the decision makers, it'll go down quicker and easier. Most people in Tulsa, I think, knew it had to be done.
They probably reluctantly knew it had to be done.
Yeah, reluctant. But they liked the vision of Tulsa as a progressive city in those days.